chapter 11 and verse 32. Got your Bible tonight? Can I see your Bible, everybody? Got a Bible? Okay, good. That's good. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 32. We're going to begin reading at verse 32, and we're going to read down to the end of the chapter. Now, I don't know if you recognize this chapter or not. Anybody recognize Hebrews 11? What do we call Hebrews 11 sometimes? The what now? I'm sorry?
Getting rid of sin.
Getting rid of sin? Okay, that'd be good. That's a good one. But it's also known as the faith chapter, the great hall of fame of faith. All of these Old Testament saints, a lot of them mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. The great things that were accomplished in their lives. You read all about it in those opening verses, and all through this chapter, you read about different people like Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and all those folks, things that God did with them because of their great faith. Their great faith. And then we come down to chapter 11, verse 32, and this is what the writer says. He says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again." "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." You ever had the kind of experience where your faith in the Lord seemed to fail? Maybe it was something simple. Maybe there was an event that you were looking forward to with great expectation. And you prayed that maybe there could be good weather. And rather than good weather, it came a stump floater. You know what a stump floater is? That's a lot of rain. That's like a frog strangler. Do you know what a frog strangler is? I'm telling you, rain, folks. And it rained your event out. Or maybe, you know, here's some young guy, young gal, and they see somebody and they say, "Oh Lord, that's her, that's him. He's the one, she's the one, I know it is." Maybe that make that person fall in love with me. And they pray and they believe God, and you just know God is going to hear your prayers, but that person goes and marries somebody else. Or maybe you have a loved one, perhaps a mate, maybe a child, maybe a good friend, perhaps a parent who gets very sick. And the doctor says it doesn't look good, and so you pray to God to provide healing. And you have faith to believe God is going to grant your prayer, and then your loved one dies. What about that? In our church in Fountain Inn, 15 years ago, our staff helped me with that. We had a young man, and he was stricken with leukemia, worst kind of leukemia that you can get. Went on a mission trip. He'd gotten sick, been to the doctor. Doctor didn't think much of it, thought it might be a virus. They went on a mission trip up to Alaska. Got sick up there. They had to quickly, air transport him to the University of Washington Medical Center. He went through all kinds of tests. Diagnosed him with having the worst kind of leukemia that you could have. Our church got to praying. Everybody we knew, we got them to pray. And he appeared to get a little bit better. They sent him home. Still wasn't getting better. Sent him to Duke University Medical Clinic. Brought him back home. And we were all praying, everybody we could get, prayed. And one day his mother, Kathy, came into my office, and she had this big smile on her face, and she said, "Preacher Mike, God last night gave me the conviction that Johnny's going to be all right. He's going to be healed." And we just praised the Lord right there in my office together. We had a little celebration time. Well, you know where I'm going with this. Johnny wasn't healed. He died. Now, here's my question. What about that? Did faith fail the Burry family? Did God abandon you when you went through a hard time and you prayed and God did not deliver you? What about that? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about this evening. I want to talk to you about those times when faith seems to fail, when it seems to let us down. And sooner or later, every believer in this room is going to experience a time like that. Some will see it, deal with it and see it stronger than others, but we'll all see it sooner or later if you live long enough. And there are three things I want you to see from the text this evening that will help us understand this thing about faith. And I want you to look down through here at these concluding verses of Hebrews, what the writer says. First thing I want you to notice is found in verses 32 down through the middle part of verse 35. And this is what we call a faith that escapes. And when you come to verse 32 and you're reading through Hebrews 11, the writer of Hebrews is kind of like some of us preachers. He's coming to the end of his sermon. He's about to run out of time, and so he starts squeezing things together. And the writer says that time does not allow him to mention the exploits of all the great people of faith he'd like to talk about. But he mentions very hurriedly some other people from the Old Testament who lived great lives of faith. And I want you to notice, he talks about Gideon and Barak and Jephthah and Samson. And he talks about David and Samuel and the prophets. And down there, he talks about these folks, some not by name but by event, because verse 33, he talks about somebody who stopped the mouths of lions. Well, who is that? Well, we know that's Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. So that's who he's talking about there. Then down in verse 34, he talks about somebody who quenched the violence of fire. Well, who was that? Well, that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember about the fiery furnace. And then down there in verse 35, he talks about women who received their dead to life again. And that could be the widow of Zarephath, or the Shunammite woman, see. And these people, they went through these great difficulties, and God brought them through. He answered their prayers. And really, the writer just does what he's been doing for the first 34 verses of this chapter and part of verse 35. And in these verses, he just gives us the victories of faith. Now, I told you of one situation in our church in Fountain Inn that didn't work out, but I can tell you about a lot of other folks in Fountain Inn that it did work out. I can tell you about a young lady. He was our lead maintenance man in our church, came to me one day, and he was crying. And I said, "Topper, what's wrong with you?" And he said, "My daughter has been diagnosed. She's got a tumor as big as a basketball. And it doesn't look good. And Preacher Mike, I want you to pray with me." And we prayed. And we had fervent prayer. And he left, and he come back a few days later, and he was so happy. And he said, "Preacher Mike, they've done a test on Bridget. They can't find the cancer anywhere. It's gone. No surgery, nothing. It's just not there." Now, we can talk about times like that, and that's what the writer does here. He talks about some times where there were victories of faith, and he tells us how faith enables many of God's people to escape a lot of the trials and difficulties of life. And we read about such great stories as Daniel, who was in the lion's den. You remember that story? Daniel in the lion's den. God led him through that. And we like the story of Moses, who came to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh's army was bearing down on them, and they were between the sea and Pharaoh's army, and Moses trusted God, and the waters parted for him. That's a great victory of faith. And we think about little old David, that little old teenage boy. He went out to that 9-foot-tall Goliath, and with just a slingshot and one rock, he just hit him right between the running lights and killed him. I mean, a great story of faith, and we love those stories. And we could have a testimony time here tonight where people trusted God and God delivered them through great difficulty. A lot of us tonight could tell stories like these, how God brought us through times of trouble and we trusted God and He delivered us. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this, faith does work. Faith does work. And faith is the switch whereby the child of God turns on the power of God into his life. It does work. But even as I say that, there is another realm of faith that you need to understand. A flip side of it, and that's what we're talking about. Not only a faith that escapes, but now I want you to notice verse 35, latter part of it, down through verse 38, because the writer now talks about a faith that endures. You read the first 34 verses of this chapter, you start verse 35, and boy, you begin to feel like you got a handle on this thing called faith. God can do some wonderful things if we trust Him, and that's just so wonderful. And then we come to the middle of verse 35, where it says, "And others were tortured." I don't like that part. I don't want to celebrate that part. And we go, uh-oh, that's not at all what we've been bargaining for, you see. The Bible makes it very plain that some people have a hard time in their faith. For some people, faith does not come through in victory, or at least like they want it to. And ladies and gentlemen, it's one thing to escape through faith the tribulation you're in, but it's something else entirely to have to endure in your faith. Now, I want you to look down here in these verses 35 through 38, and notice what some of these people had to endure. Verse 37, the writer talks about somebody who was sawn asunder. They were cut in two. Who is that? Anybody know? That's the prophet Isaiah. I mean, the church tradition says he was put into a hollow log or stuffed into a tree, and then the tree was cut down. He was cut in two. And then I think about a book I have in my library called Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's an old book, not old because it's in my library a long time, but it was written a long time ago. And it tells some of the terrible stories how early believers suffered in their faith, how some Christians were sewn up in sacks with poisonous snakes because of their faith. Believers were tied down on the beach at low tide and drowned on the high tide. Believers were tied to racks and their body parts were pulled from their bodies. And folks, we're pointing out to you there are times when faith seems to fail, and at least it does not deliver us from difficulty, and we find ourselves plunged into a trial. Now, I want you to just maybe think about this, and in fact, you ought to write this down, put it on your refrigerator. You better not get your theology from circumstances of life. You better not get your theology from the circumstances of life, and don't ever get the attitude that some get, that if God treats me good, it's a sign that He loves me, but if I have to suffer, it means there is no God, or if there is, He is not a God of love. I had a man in Ohio tell me that one time years ago. I was in seminary. We were up there visiting around the Youngstown, Ohio area. We're going to start a church up there. We knocked on a man's door and talked to him about Jesus. And he cursed and he shook his face like he was shaking his fist in the face of God. And he cursed God. And he said, "Well, if there was a God, He never would have let my mother and daddy die 2 weeks apart." And he was mad about that thing. I mean, don't get the attitude, you know, that if things are going good, God loves you. If they're not going good, God doesn't love you. If you get your theology from circumstances, there are going to be times in your life when you're going to be in real trouble. Now, I want you to listen. Don't think when you go through a hard time that God does not love you anymore. Let me give you an illustration of that. You remember John chapter 11, verse 5? You remember that? Where the Bible says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Jesus had three good friends, a brother and two sisters. Had Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And right here, verse 5, chapter 11, says, "Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." But then what happened? Lazarus got sick. And the sisters sent for Jesus that He might come and heal Lazarus. But Jesus did not come immediately to heal Lazarus. And Lazarus died. But Jesus didn't come immediately. He had another plan. And in John chapter 11, verse 14, Jesus said to the disciples plainly, "Lazarus is dead." And then the next sentence, Jesus said, "And I am glad." Now put those two together. Lazarus is dead and I am glad. That doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? And yet Mary and Martha had prayed that Jesus would come and heal Lazarus. And you may say, well, Jesus did not love them. No, the Bible plainly and clearly says down there in verse 5 that Jesus loved them. Now, if Mary and Martha had gotten their theology from those circumstances, they would have concluded that Jesus didn't love them anymore, but Jesus did love them, but He had something in mind for Lazarus that was better than any healing. He had a resurrection in mind. He had a greater plan in mind. Now listen, friend, difficulty does not mean that God has abandoned you. Over there in the next chapter, chapter 13, we're in Hebrews 11, 12, look at 13, verse 5. Down there in the latter part of Hebrews 13, 5, what does God say? God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says that to His people, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, God has said, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you. And when He says that down here in this verse, really in the Greek language, there are like five negatives in that verse. And it's like the Lord is saying, I will never, 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 never leave you. Now, if you're facing some difficulty, if some darkness or sorrow has come into your life, I don't know what to tell you except just to say God has not abandoned you. God's not abandoned you. In our text, God did not abandon these people who were sown asunder, killed by the sword, or fed to the lions. God said, I will never leave you. And listen, if you go by circumstances, sometimes you'll get the idea that God has made a big mistake, that God is doing things in a wrong way, and you will doubt the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. You remember a guy named John the Baptist? He was a great man. But he was thrown into prison. You remember he was the one God had ordained to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus into the world. And old John the Baptist was a great man, but he was thrown into prison. And while in prison, he got his eyes on circumstances momentarily, and it threw him, and his faith wavered for just a moment. So he sent a messenger to Jesus, and he said, ask Jesus, are you really the one who was to come? Are you really the Messiah? Now, it's hard to imagine John the Baptist saying that because Jesus said that of those born of women, there are none greater than John the Baptist. But John got his eyes off the principles of faith, and he got his eyes on circumstances. And I want you to take your Bible. You still got your Bible handy? Turn over there to Matthew 11, and I want you to see what Jesus said to tell John. Over there in Matthew 11, look at verse 4 and verse 5. Over in Matthew 11, verse 4 and verse 5, John sent this messenger, asked Jesus if he is really the Messiah. And down there in Matthew 11, verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, you go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, what was Jesus saying? Well, let me put it to you in a common, ordinary, everyday vernacular. John, if I want you to be in prison for a while, then don't you get upset about it. And if you're in prison, it's not because I can't get you out of prison. I could if I wanted to. If I can open blind eyes, I can open prison doors. In other words, John, let me be God. Blessed is he who does not get offended to me, Jesus says. Don't get upset because of the way I do my business. Now let me tell you, folks. Let me tell you something about God. All right, everybody listening? Here it is. You can't figure God out. If you could figure God out, he wouldn't be God. God's going to do some things sometimes, and you're going to scratch your head, and you're going to wonder what in the world is going on. See? And if you get your circumstances from this world and your theology from this world, you're going to get all confused, see? But Jesus says, blessed is he who does not get offended in me. And let me tell you what faith is. Now, please pay attention here. Faith is not receiving primarily from God the things that you want. Faith is accepting from God the things he gives. The great test of your faith is not do you have enough faith to be healed. I've got some charismatic friends and they think, boy, if you're healed, that indicates you have great faith. No, it doesn't. The great test of your faith is not, do you have enough faith to be healed or helped? The great test of your faith is, do you have enough faith not to be healed and helped and still serve Jesus? Here's what it all boils down to. Are you a fair weather Christian? Everything's going good, you're going to serve God. But if something goes bad, you're going to quit serving God. I mean, that's what this boils down to. Are you a fair weather Christian? I mean, that's just it. But listen about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember them? You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember that the story there, that there was this edict of some kind, and they had this big monument statue, and old Nebuchadnezzar, you know, they had this decree that everybody in the land, every time there was a musical note in the land heard, a specific musical tone, a trumpet blast, everybody in the land of Babylon gets down on their knees, facing toward where that image was. You bow down toward that image, at least in that direction. And so the trumpet would sound, everybody would bow down, but there were three people who didn't. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was reported to the king that they didn't bow down. The king had them brought in. He said to them, now, if you don't bow down, we've got this fiery furnace, we're going to throw you into the furnace. If you don't bow down, we are going to throw you into that fiery furnace, and you're going to fry like a piece of bacon. Take your Bible and turn over to Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. I want you to hear, you've got to hear this. Daniel chapter 3, Daniel's over there in about the middle of the Bible, toward the minor prophets. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. And I want you to listen to what they said. The king said, now, if you don't bow down to this image next time it happens, we're going to throw you into a burning fiery furnace. And verse 16 says, chapter 3, book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we have no need to think about this, to meditate on it, to think about what our answer is. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But now get this. If not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set. In other words, if things don't work out, if we don't get what we want, if God does not deliver us and we fry like a piece of bacon, we're still not going to bow down and worship your image. And you know what that is? That right there is a faith that endures. That's the kind of faith we need. There's something special about that. When we have faith not to escape, but faith to endure is what we're talking about. I mean, if God has bigger and better plans for us that will glorify Him, but be a little hard for us, are you going to let God do that? Or are you going to get bent out of shape? Are you going to shake your fist in the face of God? Are you going to get all bent out of shape? In other words, is there a limit to how far your faith will go for God? Will you just give up on God if He does not come through for you the way you think He should? Let me share a real, I don't know if you'll find this quick enough, but I want you to listen to a verse over here. Anybody ever heard of the book of Habakkuk? Y'all know that book? All right, over here in the book of Habakkuk in chapter 3, I want you to listen to a passage of Scripture. In fact, I can't even find it myself. It disappeared. Here it is. I want you to listen to what Habakkuk said. Habakkuk's people were going through a difficult time. The Jews were going through a difficult time. Habakkuk was praying that God would do something. God said, I am doing something. I've let the Babylonians come. That's it. Habakkuk was saying, please take the Babylonians away. God says, no, I'll let them come. And Habakkuk struggled with that thing, and finally he resolved that issue in his mind. This is what he said in verse 17, Habakkuk 3. If the fig tree does not blossom, neither fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock, the sheep, the cattle, and so forth, shall be cut off from the fold. They won't have any more calves and such. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. In other words, if the whole economy drops and breaks and goes downhill and we lose everything we have, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, folks, that's a beautiful expression of faith. Now, God, we're praying that you'll deliver us. God, we're praying that you'll help us escape. But God, even if we don't escape, we're going to stick with you. We're going to endure, and that's what I'm talking about. That is the kind of faith we need. Boy, it's pretty shallow when you start talking about, well, if you're healed, you got great faith. If you're not healed, you don't have great faith. I'd come back and say this. I'd say, do you have a faith strong enough to endure if God says you're not going to be healed? Is your faith that strong? See? And that's what we're talking about. I mean, there are many times that we simply don't understand why God does what he does. You still got your Bible? Take your Bible. I want to show you something else over here. The book of Acts, chapter 12. That's real important that you look at this. Acts, I keep wanting to go back to Hebrews. Acts chapter 12, and I want you to look at verses 1 and 2. Now, I want you to listen to this. Look at this real close down here. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Everybody with me? Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He's persecuting the early church. And look here. He killed the brother of John. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. You remember James and John, part of the disciples? Herod killed James. James was one of the disciples. He was one of God's people. Herod killed him. You see that? All right, now drop on down to verse 5. We talk about Peter now. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But now prayer was being made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, he was going to get rid of Peter too. The same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon Peter, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. Had to wake him up. Boy, you can tell he's really worried, isn't he? He's sleeping all night. So the angel has to smote him on the side, woke him up, raised him up, saying, Peter, get up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and did not know that it was true which was done by the angel. He thought he was having a dream or a vision or something like that. But I want you to notice down there that Peter escaped. James died. Peter escaped. Two disciples, part of the Lord's original 12. Now here's my question. Do you think God loved Peter more than he did James? I mean, James died. Peter got away. Did that mean that God loved Peter more than he did James? Do you think James was somehow backslidden and therefore he died? Not at all. Both of those men left Herod's prison. James left for the executioner's block. Peter left with the angel. And what I'm saying is that sometimes we're just going to have to let God be God. There are some things we just simply can't understand. You know, when I was a young pastor years ago, when I started out, I was age 25. I knew everything then. You could ask me anything. I had an answer for everything. You ask me something now, most likely, I'm going to tell you, Monty, I just don't know. You know, I don't know. Now, let me show you over here Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. You need to get this verse now. Write it down if I'm going too quick. Isaiah chapter 50, and I want you to listen to verse 10. This is what it says. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant, that walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And that verse tells me that you can fear God, you can obey God, and you can walk with God, and you can still be in darkness. And sometimes we're going to be in the dark as to why God does what He does and why He does it. We're not going to understand. We're going to be plunged into darkness and we don't understand what's going on. But friend, just because things don't make sense to you does not mean they don't make sense at all. Hello, amen? I'm going to say that again. Look like y'all missed that. Just because things don't make sense to you does not mean they don't make sense at all. Let God be God. He knows what He's doing. Maybe I don't know. But there are some things you can only see in the darkness. I mean, you can only see the stars in the dark. And sometimes you can't even see the stars. But in the dark, you just trust God, walk with God. You don't know all the answers. I don't know all the answers. We just need to hold on to our faith in the Lord during those times for all we're worth. Now, sometimes we don't just need faith to conquer. We need a faith to continue. Oh, Preacher Mike, I was healed of cancer. Well, praise God. But what if you weren't? Would you continue living for Jesus? Preacher Mike, my husband came back to me. We've been separated for months, going to get a divorce, and God spared our marriage. Well, that's wonderful, but if He hadn't, would you still serve Jesus? You know, we enjoy reading about those who had a faith to escape, but these had faith to endure. And we enjoy reading about those who had faith to be delivered, but these had faith to die. And we enjoy reading about those who had faith to be healed, but these had faith to keep on being hurt. And the Bible seems to indicate that these folks who endured had a better kind of faith, because look at verse 38, one of the greatest statements in all of Scripture. It calls these people, people of whom the world is not worthy. Time magazine will every once in a while come out with a list of the world's greatest people. Top 10 greatest people who've ever lived in the history of mankind. They'll have stuff like that. Maybe some of these other periodicals have something like that. And they'll have their histories and they'll put together their lists. But now God says the type of people that I'm talking about here who endure in spite of not being delivered, He says of them, here's a category of people of whom the world is not worthy. Here is a faith that escapes. Here is a faith that endures. But now let's go a little bit further. Look at verses 38 and 39. I want you now to see a faith that enjoys. Now, down here, these last couple of verses down here. Down here in these last few verses of Hebrews 11, they're kind of hard to get a handle on. It's a complicated construction of wording, but it means that although many of these old men and women of faith did not immediately receive all the promises of God, God is not finished with them yet. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. This existence that we all have going on right now is not all there is. We walk out those doors and the cars are going up down the road and there's the sky, and we go home and watch TV and there's the news and all this activity, and this is life now. We live our lives and we live as though this is all there is. No, this is not all there is. This is really like playing football in August, the two-a-day workouts, getting ready for the season to come. This is not the season. This is just the two-a-day workouts. This is just the preliminary. This is just the time of preparing and testing to see what we're made of and how we're going to endure. But the real thing is over yonder. That's where I put my dad the other day, last Friday. See, we buried him away. He died on Tuesday. He went on to be with Jesus. He's over there where the reality is. This is not reality. This is not the real thing. So, with that in mind, this is what God says. God says you may not be delivered here, but you will be over there. Amen? Y'all didn't say that real enthusiastic. You're over here and you can't breathe. You get over there and you can breathe all you want to. You're over here and you're running out of resources. You get over there, you got everything. Over there, did you know in heaven that gold is so, you know, boy, gold is like $1,200 an ounce right now. You ever take a few bucks? Everybody says, I'd love to have a bunch of gold, man. You know, it's going up a little bit, you know. You know what in heaven? They walk on it. You know, they don't even think anything. They use that as paving material. Gold, see. And so God says now, this is not all there is. The reality is over there. And maybe you're not delivered over here, but you will be over there. Now, here's the question. Here's the question. If you go through a hard time over here, what you going to do with it as a believer? Are you a fair-weather Christian? Everything like zippity-doo-dah. Y'all know that old song, zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay? I won't sing it. But you know, everything's going my way. As long as everything's going my way, you're going to serve Jesus, and you're going to come in here and, amen, Lord, ain't God good, Jerry Clower? But what if you have to go through a hard time? What then? You're going to quit on God? I've seen a lot of people quit on God, shake their fist in the face of God. You're going to quit on God? I love the Apostle Peter. Peter was just down the earth, and he's always bearing himself, his emotions, and how he feels. You know, when Jesus began his ministry, he was real popular. And he was healing people, and he was helping people, and he was preaching. And people said, nobody has ever preached like this man. Nobody's ever taught like this man. And they just marveled at Jesus, and they come out by the thousands. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the Bible says, that was just 5,000 men. That didn't count the women and children. There could have been 20,000 or 25,000 people there that day. All those throngs of people coming to hear Jesus. We love Jesus. But then, Jesus started teaching them some hard teachings, kind of like I'm doing you here tonight. He started teaching them some hard things to not grasp, but just to want. He started teaching them about commitment to the Father, to the Lord God, and turning from their sins and abandoning their immoral lifestyle, their ungodly lifestyle. And he started really bearing down in the pulpit, and people would have called him a hellfire and damnation preacher. And when he started that, over there in John chapter 6, when he started that, the crowd started leaving. They didn't start coming to hear him preach anymore and teach anymore. They didn't like what he was saying anymore. And it kind of got Jesus' attention. Jesus turned to his disciples and he said to them, are you going to leave me too? Now I want you to listen to what Peter said. Peter said to him, when Jesus said, are you going to leave me too? Peter said, where would we go? You have the words of life. No, Lord, we're going to stick with you. Now, here's my question. If God sticks you in a fiery furnace anytime soon, you're going to bail out on Him? You're going to quit on Him? You're going to shake your fist in the face of God? You're going to curse God? You're going to quit church? You're going to give up your Christian faith? I mean, listen, folks. How are you going to handle that if that time comes to you? What are you going to do? What are you going to turn to? See, you're going to turn to this world's religions? You're going to follow the Dalai Lama like old Brad Pitt did, you know, for a while? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to turn to science with all of its technology? Is that what you're going to turn to? Are you going to turn back to your old lifestyle? See, is that what you're going to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm sticking with Jesus. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm sticking with Jesus. If you don't, what are you going to do with the loneliness of old age? I'm sticking with Jesus. What are you going to do when you're staring death right face to face? I'm sticking with Jesus. What are you going to do? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we turn to in our lives? And Peter was just saying, Lord, I'm sticking with you. Are you a fair weather Christian? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Somebody, I preached this sermon one time, a couple of years ago, and somebody come up and said, Preacher Mike, you need to add one more thing to it. And they wrote this down. They said, faith isn't about everything turning out okay. Faith is about being okay no matter how things turn out. I thought that was good. You're here tonight, and God may be somehow speaking to your heart, some decision to make. When we sing this invitation hymn, you feel perfectly free to come. If you want to pray with me or if you need counsel with me, I'd be glad to do that. If you want to kneel around this platform and pray, that'd be fine too. If you want to just sit on this pew, if you can't kneel, sit on these front pews and just have a time between you and God and just talk to God. about your own personal faith. How strong is it? How committed to you are you to Jesus? Father, I do pray, Lord, that you will help all of us to be strong enough in our faith to walk with you no matter what comes our way. Lord, help us to never abandon you. Help us to stick with Jesus. And our prayer tonight would be if there's somebody who does not know Christ, that they would be saved. And if there's somebody here tonight who's not walking with Christ as a believer, that they'll begin walking with him again. If there's somebody here who needs to move their membership, that they do that. But Father, have your will and your way in this service, and we'll thank you for all that you do for us. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.